Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Manish Mehta is here with us on The Fan. How was your Christmas, Manish?
It was great, Jody. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Not too shabby. Thank you for asking. Glad to hear yours was good. Let me follow up with a caller. Just brought this up last segment here on The Fan. What do you think Robbie Anderson's going to get on the open market as a free agent wide receiver this offseason?
That's a great question. I think it's a lot more than what a Jet fan thinks it's going to be. And, you know, they know Robbie Anderson and how he has evolved and grown, but still, you know, no 1,000-yard season. The market, however, for wide receivers in free agency is relatively weak. You've got Amari Cooper, who I'm not convinced is actually going to hit the market. I think the Cowboys will either sign him to a long-term deal, franchise him. You've got an older A.J. Green, who didn't even play this year. Do you want him? No. And then you've got Robbie Anderson, who's really entering his peak, his prime. So I think that it would not be surprising if Robbie Anderson got somewhere about $14 million a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but you know, it's supply and demand. And I think that when it's all said and done, that's where his number is going to come in.
Right. Agree or disagree with my take, which was I think the Jets will put a fair market value offer out there. They won't just let Robbie walk away. But if someone is willing to go to that number that you said, or maybe even beyond that number, there's only a point that the Jets will go to. And then they'll say, yeah, no, we are not going to make a mistake of overpaying, like perhaps the way that they did with Le'Veon Bell this year. And then it'll come down to Robbie Anderson if he gets that outrageously good offer that sits out there and his decision.
Yeah, you know, it's so difficult to predict, you know, at the end of December, what's going to happen in free agency, because free agency is such a fast-flowing process. And I don't think the Jets had any designs on paying C.J. Mosley $17 million a year. They wanted to come in under that, but the Ravens wanted him to retain him. So that number kept getting higher and higher. Za'Darius Smith is another player. I'm not sure if Jet fans know, but the Jets wanted him as well, and then his number got so high, and the Packers were willing to pay him whatever that final deal was, and the Jets weren't. So, you know, it's such an interesting dynamic. It's so free-flowing. I'll be really paying close attention to how Joe Douglas handles this. It's the first time that he's going to be in the big chair. You know, maybe I'm in the minority. I don't know. But I don't see that much of a downside to, quote-unquote, overpaying Robbie Anderson, even if it's by a couple million dollars a year or, you know, $5 million in guaranteed, whatever you want to call it, because he is a younger player at a position that the Jets desperately need because they want to cultivate Sam Darnold's talent. And these two guys have grown together. It's been uneven at times, but they're clearly headed in the right direction. So if it means overpaying for Robbie Anderson, if I'm Joe Douglas and I'm looking at the landscape out there in free agency, I'm bringing back Robbie Anderson. I know there's a lot of good wide receivers in the draft, but free agency comes before the draft, and I don't think you want to back yourself in a corner. And if that means paying Robbie Anderson more than what you intend to pay, just because of the circumstance of where the Jets are right now, trying to develop their young quarterback, I would pay Anderson.
Manish Mehta, Daily News Jet Beat reporter, our guest here on The Fan. All right, Manish, you wrote a column earlier this week that was, to use a descriptive adjective, a little scathing about the Jets head coach and his feelings toward the fan base and the way they look at the football team that he coaches. It surely wasn't complimentary, and I'll trust your sources that most of what you wrote was dead on, accurate, and true. How much influence does that have on the ownership of the Jets? If they take your word for gospel, do they play toward that? Do they completely ignore it and just judge the accomplishments or lack thereof of the Jets on the field? How much do you believe a fan base's feelings about a coach actually has an effect on how the owners look at them?
Well, I think the owners are in too deep, at least for 2020, so they're not going to jump ship unless something else, you know, comes out that's really something that cannot be ignored. I can tell you with great certainty that Christopher Johnson was well aware this summer that if Adam Gase didn't change his ways behind the scenes, that things would not ultimately go right for this franchise. I don't believe that Christopher Johnson knows all the details. This is just one detail that I'm sure he did not know. And anyone who's around Adam Gase knows that this is true because people have known about this really for the better part of the year. This isn't something that just cropped up in the last week. Because as you know, Jody, being a Jet fan, fans have been very critical of Adam Gase. And that has just ratcheted up his feeling. I mean, he's an insecure person based on what people who know him tell me. You know, I am not Adam Gase's best friend, obviously, and I can only go off of what people who know him and work with him tell me. And it is obvious. I think just generally speaking, nobody brags about their bank account unless there's some kind of insecurity there. And a normal person does not do that. And I think that because of the fan reaction toward him and the criticism toward him, it's been such a visceral reaction this entire season that it has really kind of had prompted him to kind of hunker down, you know, a little bit and say, hey, look, I don't really care what they think. You know, I'm well off. I'm okay. You know, none of this criticism is gonna impact me. I look at it as a childish way to comport yourself if you're a leader. He is not the leader of this team. He is the head coach. There's a distinct difference. And I think the majority of the fan base, the smart part of the fan base, understands that.
But the leader of this team, and separating offense and defense, and they can be separate, they have to be tied at least in part as overall Jets, but there is a separation there. The leader of the offense is Sam Darnold. And Darnold has been more complimentary than questioning of his head coach, has more taken his back. Is that enough to bridge the gap between the coach who comes off as paranoid and the like? As long as he's got his QB in line and on the same page with him, can he be okay?
Well, this is what I'll say about Sam Darnold. From the minute that I met him until today, he's an exceedingly supportive person. He wants to believe in every coach that he's ever had, not only in the NFL, but dating back to college and dating back to high school. He has never said a cross word about any coach that he's ever had. He's always been supportive and positive about everybody. You don't have to go back that far into the past. He was very supportive of Todd Bowles. He was very supportive of Jeremy Bates. That's who he is as a person. So I would not expect anything other than that when asked about the head coach. He is not going to lash out and criticize the head coach. Now, flipping it over to Adam Gase's perspective, Adam Gase is not the quarterback coach. Adam Gase is the head coach. So the fact that he may or may not have the support of his quarterback is nice. He needs to have the support of everybody on that team, and that includes the rest of the offensive players. That includes the defensive players, the guys who are predominantly special teams players, and he does not have that support. He does not. I know that. I know that from being around the team. He does not have that support. That doesn't mean that he's going to get fired. He's going to have another opportunity in 2020. But again, he has to change the way he conducts his business behind the scenes because it's not reflective of a good leader. I can tell you that half of the team, at least, the defensive side, views Greg Williams as the leader, as their leader, and rightfully so. Both of these guys have had unusual circumstances. One guy has used injuries as an excuse. The other guy rarely even utters the word injury. And the Jets defense, as you know, George, Jody, has overachieved by every, in every possible way. That's why I actually think that Greg Williams should get consideration for assistant coach of the year. I don't think he'll get it because Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, those are probably one of the two guys is going to win that. But for what Greg Williams was given and what has happened this season on the defensive side of the ball, to what has been produced, he has really exceeded expectations, and he has handled himself like a leader should handle himself, whereas the person in charge of the offense has not.
I understand that, and I agree with your evaluation of Williams, and he has done one of the best coaching jobs in the NFL this year, but the separation of church and state, and yes, Adam Gates is a much more heavily offensive-oriented head coach, which I would want my head coach to be on top of both sides of the ball, but it seems like the separation has worked for the Jets this year on the defensive side. Would you actually try and change that if you were Adam Gase?
Well, you don't need to micromanage. And look, what Gase said earlier this week is something I completely agree with. He's right. You don't want to micromanage Greg Williams, a guy who's got 30 years of experience and prior head coaching experience as well. Especially, you don't want to micromanage in the course of a game. And that question was raised about benching Bless Austin in-game. And he said, look, you know, I trust these guys on the offensive side of the ball. I completely agree with Gase. Absolutely. That's the right approach. However, day-to-day, during the week, during the spring, not just during the season, you really have to be more engaged on the other side of the ball. And this was a problem that Rex Ryan had early on in his tenure. He was so detached from the offensive side of the ball. This is, in effect, in reverse. Adam Gase is really too detached, from my understanding, to the defensive side. You got to be a little bit more involved. I'm not saying calling plays, but you are the CEO of the team. You're not just the offensive head coach. You're not just the quarterback mentor. You have to be more. Otherwise, all you are is an offensive coordinator, and that needs to change. And I thought that was going to change, frankly, when he was hired. And I do think he has good ideas, Jody. That hasn't changed. I just don't think he's implemented those ideas properly in terms of applying them to the quarterback that he has in front of him, not the quarterback he had 5 years ago who's going to go into Canton one day. He has to apply the ideas he has to better a 22-year-old Sam Darnold who has a different skill set than Peyton Manning. And, you know, hopefully that happens for the Jets fan base and for the, you know, people inside that organization. Hopefully that happens moving forward. But that has clearly been an issue with the head coach this season.
All right, Mish, two more quickies, and we appreciate you coming on board. What sits in the balance tomorrow? What does a win or a loss either accomplish or cost the Jets tomorrow in Buffalo against the Bills? Get to 9-7-9, 6-2 in the second half, lose another divisional game, probably going to be playing against some of the Bills' backups. Is anything up for grabs tomorrow in the Bills-Jets game in your mind?
Well, I think there's two potential pitfalls. One, of course, is injury. You hope everyone gets through that game unscathed and nobody gets hurt. And two is draft position. You win a game, that means nothing other than window dressing for your record at the end of the season, and that could adversely affect your draft position. They're currently at the number 10 draft position, depending obviously on what a lot of other teams do. A win could hurt them, and it could slide a few spots. And people will say, well, that doesn't really matter because who's to say who's going to be good at pick 10 versus pick 12 or 13? That's all well and good until draft day. And then the number 10 team's on the clock, and there's some coveted player that the Jets could use, and they're not drafting at 10 anymore because they beat the Bills in week 17. So those are the two downsides. The upside is feeling good about a win. You always want to go out on a good, a high note. I don't subscribe to the notion that there's a carryover effect, because this roster is going to be turned over massively. So half these guys won't even be on the team, and you've got such a big break before they even report for spring workouts. And then the first game's not for another 9 months. So there is no carryover effect. But you do want to feel good about a win if you're a player and a coach. I understand that, totally respect that. But there's no tangible impact. You want Sam Darnold to do well, but if Sam Darnold's lighting up the Bills' backups in the third and fourth quarter, what does that really mean? I mean, what does that accomplish? I'm not sure it accomplishes much at all.
All right, and last thing, whatever opening week is, second Sunday in September, wherever the Jets will be opening up, will Le'Veon Bell still be on this roster?
I think they'll try to move him. I think ultimately it won't make sense because they're going to have to absorb some salary. It'll probably be more salary than they're willing to absorb. So the smart play, in my mind, is, look, he's got this guaranteed money coming in 2020. Play it out in 2020. The guaranteed money runs out after next season, and then you can part ways with him. Unless, of course, Adam Gates really pounds the table and says, look, I want to get rid of him. Those dynamics are yet to be determined. I would keep him for 1 year because I don't know if it makes much sense eating 40% of his salary to get rid of him. Then what are you doing? We might as well just pay him the money that he's owed. He's still a productive player. I think they misused him terribly this season, and perhaps Adam Gase adjusts. And if he doesn't want to adjust, then we'll know this. Because if he is traded, And if they do take a sizable chunk in terms of absorbing the salary, then it becomes pretty clear that the head coach wanted no parts of them.
Understood and agreed. I hope they keep them too. Manish, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Have a happy new year. Enjoy the... I guess he's out. Just like that. I'm still going to thank him for coming on and giving us his opinions, even if his phone decided to disconnect. Manish Mehta here with us on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.